And Sarah's always insisting I speak up because I have a very soft voice. So to contextualise for us, and for me in particular, this work is much bigger than the prison work that we do. It's about families, my families, and home, and connecting people living off country to their places and spaces of belonging, which in Indigenous knowledge systems is the source of all well-being, where country is a living entity, a being that we're all related to, connected to, and that I've been taught we must listen to. So what the pilot Listening to Country project taught us was about the real meaning of the D, and it's changed us all. So in a world becoming noisier and noisier, where we are increasingly searching for silence, creating those spaces for listening is important. And there is a wealth of evidence linking well-being with sound. And I'll add, one of the first, just as a side note, one of the first Aboriginal mental health training resources in Queensland, its title was called Binangunj. The thing that condenses all of that body of work from an Indigenous health professional space, Binangunj means they hear but they don't listen. Mm-hmm. And that's what the title of it is about. So if I would like to finish our talk with a short reflection that sums up what this work means to me. And I'd like to acknowledge at the same time the sense of loss that has touched other people at this gathering. So recently my family and my community lost a giant man in our lives. He was my father's older brother, and an uncle I fished and walked and painted country with, who shared my interest in trees and art, an uncle I spent precious time with in the bush listening to his stories, and listening to the sounds of the country all around us, listening to the fire crackling and children laughing somewhere in the background always. The last years of uncle's life were spent not there on country where he wanted to be, but in a place filled with the sounds of digitally modified voices on intercoms and loudspeakers, bells, alarms, vacuum cleaners, and the sounds of people screaming for help, for attention, for family, and the harsh, tinny, old-time sound of old-time music. I sat with him in that soundscape for hours, battling the soundscapes to be heard myself. And uncle's hearing aids often played up. He spent years there. The last time I spent with him, I resorted to my ever-present pen and notebook in order to communicate with him through writing. And uncle couldn't write very well because he'd had a stroke. So I had to strain to hear his words and write them for him through the sonic environment that surrounded us while I listened. While I listened for the sounds of the country he was so often talking about. Talking with my uncle that last time, I realised what an amazing thing the gift of listening is, especially as you get older. As he struggled again and again to shape his mouth, to make sounds into words, or to hear through the whistle of his hearing aid and the sounds of a busy nursing home, I felt my ears expanding into my other senses, feeling for the story he so wanted to tell me that last time. So the story he tried to tell me as it began to unfold, I could feel how much he wanted to say but couldn't. What he wanted me to know, this one thing, this one little story, song. He was remembering a song that his Uncle Georgie, my great Uncle Georgie, once sang. It's a throwaway song, he said, or at least I think that's what he said. I heard throw and song. Yet this song was an important one to Uncle. It took him an hour to tell me through a long process of checking what he'd said and writing it down and checking it back. And he wanted me to hear what only he could hear, the memory of Uncle Georgie singing the song. The remnants of that memory lit up Uncle's face. That memory was rendered through a mouth struggling to make the shapes that produce sounds, and my ears struggling to hear the faint sounds of a voice underneath all the intrusive sounds of a nursing home. The song I heard was, Mitchell is my station, I'm black, K kissed a girl and danced around the Indies. And I wondered if this was the last time I could hear his voice. Turns out it was. I can still hear the memory of his voice, frail and distorted, singing a song that only he could hear, overlaid with the sounds that he lived with, off country for the last years of his life. And I wonder now at the impact of those sounds on his sense of well-being and on mine.